Hello and welcome to a new episode of Blog Tales. I'm Sarah, Managing Director of Blockchain Founders Group, and today I have Nadine with me. And before Nadine starts to introduce herself, we are today live from European Blockchain Convention in Barcelona, both of us. And we thought it's super nice to have an in-person meeting. And so this is why we decided to do the episode here today. And so Nadine, please start, introduce yourself.
Sarah, thank you so much to inviting me to this podcast. I think it's a great opportunity, especially from a place in Barcelona, to do that and to show a little bit of the spirit here, maybe a little bit to my person. I'm Nadine. I'm located in Munich, Germany also. And I'm the co-founder of Particula. It's a Wi-Fi startup. And
you definitely have to tell us how you get there or how you got there. But maybe first of all, what are your thoughts on the conference? Do you like it? Why did you decide to come here? So maybe you can start with that.
Yeah, sure. So it's my first international conference in the Web3 space, which is really interesting to like meet people from everywhere, because I just went to German stuff yet, and it's definitely different.
And I experienced exactly the same, but please go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, and I got tickets. Funny from you.
Yeah, because that's true. Yeah.
My co-founder and I, we went together. It was really spontaneous, like a few weeks ago, and we were like, do we want to go? It's pretty spontaneous, but then we're like, okay, we have to go, because especially when you're such a young startup, it's important to be out there, to talk with people, and to know the scene.
That's true. So for me, it was like, we arrived 2 days ago, and I went in, and I didn't know anybody. Like, I went through everybody, or I went through the hall, and there was like, okay, I don't know anybody. And it really feels strange, because if you sometimes enter a space in Germany, it's like, sometimes it feels like even coming home, because you know so many people. But this is super positive, because if you know already everybody, you can make a lot of new contacts. So it's a lot better if you don't know anybody. And so I think it's super nice here. And did you already talk to some people around? So did you meet some nice guys or some like interesting people?
Yes. Yesterday was really, really busy. You can for this conference, you got also like an app where you could find all the people who are attending, which is really, really helpful, because I'm not sure about like going somewhere and there are like thousands of people and then you just randomly speak to everybody. So I thought it's really good to see up front who's coming and who's maybe also interesting for your startup or your project or what else you're doing. And there was like looking for people also who are in a Wi-Fi space, who are doing something with sustainability maybe, and also looking for people from the classical industry, because I think it's interesting to see them here. And for instance, yesterday I talked to Kerstin, who is Web3 global head or something like that, of Telekom, so Telekom in Germany, and that was really interesting. They are like super into Web3 and they're like super open, and
I think this is an important point, because I also experience it, that more and more people, especially from huge companies, institutionals, maybe even listed companies, are trying to enter the space. And not only with like one person who is allowed to have a look at the scene, but even more people and like a whole department really trying to figure out what's going on here.
Yeah.
And I think it's a more business related conference. And but there are many, many interesting people, and it's always super important to really meet with the people, because what I experience is like, if you only meet online, it's nice.
Yeah,
but you sometimes really have to be together with the people. You have to see them. You have to make like personal contacts, and I think this is like super, super, important.
Definitely. I think you get more remembered than like, because I notice when you talk with somebody on computer, they don't really remember you sometimes. But when they know, oh, I met them in Barcelona, they will always keep you in mind. And when they have discussion with others, they're like, yeah, I heard about this one startup. I met them in Barcelona. And so you kind of like have a better connection.
Absolutely. This is super important, and especially for you, being a young startup in the Web3 space, I think it's super important to have like some contact points. And yeah, maybe you can tell us your story, how you got into Web3.
Yeah.
And for me, it's super, super nice because you are one of the startups of the Blockchain Founders Group. And maybe you can also tell a little about your story, how you started with Blockchain Founders Group and like,
yeah,
what happened? How did you get there?
Yeah, it's a really good question, and it's actually a hard one because it's such a long journey, I would say, but I keep it quick. So maybe at first I was always into general technology. I loved like, you know, read about quantum computing, AI and stuff like that. And then also, of course, you kind of like stumble over blockchain.
Yes.
And for me, the first time I thought it's some cryptic thing, and I wasn't really sure when I first heard about that. Is there really something behind that, or is it just hype? So I'm not so long in this space, Web3 people would say. Probably like 2021, I started like, you know, figuring things out.
But this means you're already in the space for 1.5 years.
Yes,
and I mean, people
time flies.
Entering, so.
That's true. And one of my co-founders, I know him for a long time already, and he got first into blockchain and crypto, and then he was telling me about that, and I thought, okay, this sounds interesting, especially like NFTs and stuff like that. And we always wanted to found something because we both have a very entrepreneurial mindset. And and then he wanted to do something with crypto or blockchain, and I always also wanted to do something with impact because I was also writing my bachelor thesis about environmental awareness and behavior and why there's this gap. And and then we said, okay, we have to kind of like find a great use case, or maybe it's a great use case. And that's how we figured things out, brainstormed, and we had also first ideas, and we didn't know anything about the blockchain community in Germany. Like, we didn't know Philipp Sandmann, like everybody in Germany knows him, and also not Blockchain Founders Group, Blockchain Standard, and so on. And my co-founder, he had a few books also from Philipp Sandmann. And we were like, when we had the first business idea, we were like, hey, we should write the authors and ask them how they like our ideas.
To be honest, I think this is a super smart idea.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like you really have to think about what you do, and then writing the author is like, this is just really smart to start like that.
Because yeah.
It's super hard to figure out whether your idea is a great one or not.
Yeah.
And to get in contact with the people who write books about a certain topic is like,
I mean, they know.
Super smart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Philip answered, and we were like, oh my gosh, this author, he answered us, and it's so crazy. But Philip just said, yeah, send me a pitch deck. And we sent him a pitch deck, and it was terrible. It was like super, super terrible because we had no clue what we were doing. And he was probably, I'm not sure if he read it, but he just wrote back, do something with carbon. Like, do something with carbon. It's like
the
hot
next
topic.
Big thing.
And we were like, what the heck? What should we do with carbon? Like, what should we do with this information? Because our idea was super different to that. And yeah, and then we like figured it out, and We didn't plan it actually, but we applied with a forest. So we wanted to tokenize forests in Germany, and we applied with the idea for the BFG because we found out about the LinkedIn that there's this incubator program. And by the way, I can recommend this incubator program very, very very, very much. But also in general, when you're thinking about having a startup or creating it, I can always recommend doing something like an incubator program or also accelerator program, because it's really give you speed, and it was just helpful, and things are going faster. So anyways, we applied with the first idea, and they took us. We were like, okay, that's crazy. We didn't believe that at first. We were like, okay, but see how it goes. We probably won't go far, but we will try. And yeah, now we are here. We got also funded by BFG, we switched our
congratulations by the way.
Thank
that's
you.
Super nice.
it was very hard.
And I can see you already have the merchandise, so I can see your shirt. It's
also, I have something here.
Ah, perfect, particular, nice.
And it's also
people
a QR code.
Scan it.
Yes, that's to my cool. LinkedIn. We already thought about that. Yeah, and maybe also to our idea, we are building the kind of like the Moody's for ESG token or token who are related to sustainability. And in the first place, of course, tokenized carbon credits. So there's the carbon topic again. And we are like,
it worked out. I mean, the idea from Philip,
it worked out. Yeah, it
was a good end your startup.
It was a good tip.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And so if you think about the moment where you started with BFT and now the process where you are now, like what happened in between? What was like really the important maybe tips and maybe points where you kind of pivoted or changed your thoughts? And what did you, what influenced you within the last months?
Yeah, so I think the game changer was, I mean, we worked on the idea also before the program. The game changer is when you really have somebody where you have to like face every week and have to like say what you did the last week. And for
somebody's
me,
somebody's checking you, like
yeah,
really
somebody,
pushing
and yeah. I'm a person, I get really fast embarrassed when I feel like I didn't like meet my personal expectation, and then I have to face somebody and telling them, I don't know, I was lazy this week. I would feel bad, and that's why it gave me the push I needed, and that's why we like, and also my two co-founders as well, and that's why we like pushed each other and we were motivated and did more and more each week. And I think that's changed a lot also in my mindset and of course thinking in like business, because before that I also had a good mindset because I studied economics and I know like how economy works, but it's definitely different when you're like founding your own startup. Like there's so much to learn.
So it helps a lot if you have somebody who's kind of guiding you through everything. And so if we go back to the program, what are the most important learnings and maybe what are the most important things that you would not do without the program? But because it just didn't come to your mind. So,
yeah, I think the biggest game changer is, and that's always, I know, I'm not sure if you guys know Philip Sandler, but he's always like preaching, go out, like, you know, be present and talk about what you're doing with people, because if nobody knows of you, nobody will like buy your product in the end, you know, and you don't know if you're like on the right track with your product. And so outreach was like a really big topic, and we started like really early writing Medium articles on LinkedIn and producing content besides, of course, all the product development and everything. And people nowadays know us, and we're so young, our product isn't ready yet, but people are thinking we are like way further developed, and they're like, everybody knows you. When I talk to somebody, they already know you. How are you doing that, guys? And I think that's like the most important thing, that you're not waiting and like developing, because your product will probably never be perfect.
It's always a process.
Yes. So that's why I go out even when there's no product yet and create content, because you have your niche, and the niche is interesting at least for always for someone. So and you can definitely write something about it. And that's what we did, especially about the refi topic.
Yeah. So what I also experienced is like if there are only like some people who like your product, maybe it's like friends and family, and of course they agree. Like there's a book out there, it's called Mom Test. And if your family and friends agree on your idea, it's not worth anything.
Yeah.
Because friends and family,
they're
normally
not honest.
Because they like you and they want to help you. And
don't
sometimes
wanna hurt you.
They don't want to hurt you, but it doesn't help. It's the other way around. It's the opposite. It doesn't help you if they don't lie, because it's not like a negative thing. But it doesn't help you. And so you really have to convince other people that your product is a nice one. And I think product market fit is, especially at the beginning of the startup, it's the most important thing and the most difficult thing.
It is.
And so you mentioned the topic of FreeFi already several times. Maybe you can help us a little what you're talking about and what the space is about.
Yeah.
And then we can dig a little deeper in that area.
I would love to talk about that because I feel like not so many much people know about that. So ReFi, it sounds maybe similar to DeFi, and that's not a coincidence. So it's outspoken, it's regenerative finance. And I think because it's called ReFi, it's kind of like the ESG side of Web3, or you can also call it like a movement. And we as particular, we already identified like over 500 projects worldwide around ReFi. And maybe to explain what it is, it's ReFi, so there's no definition like in Wikipedia. You cannot just Google
it.
You can't find it. It's probably more like a subjective opinion about that. Yeah. But usually it's like incentivizing humans to preserve and restore nature with the new technology we are having, like the blockchain technology. So for instance, you have tokens who are backed by CO2, or we have also biodiversity tokens, social tokens, supply chains, circular economy, and so on. So really, really a lot about ESG, and with the help of this technology, there are incentives possible, which weren't in the classical market yet. And that's, I think it's really, really great, because that's how our world is working. Because most people are like, you know, having this romantic fantasy that we can just be all equal and, you know, it doesn't work. Nobody is just giving money away. Yeah. And, you know, we always kind of like, we always need incentives, especially in the countries like in Peru, where the rainforest is. They don't care. So they care probably about the rainforest, but they don't care about the climate change or stuff. So because they have to feed their family. And when we are just coming there and, you know, buying the forest away and telling them, yeah, go away, that's now protected, they were like, what the hell? I just want to do farming and I just need money. So, and with that technology, we can like integrate the community, we can like let them participate of the token. How can you say that, of the token incomes, or like the revenues. I think they're a really good project.
So I read a really good quote like some weeks ago already. It's from Charles Hoskinson. He's the founder of the Cardano blockchain.
Mm-hmm.
And he once said, and I have to rephrase a little because I don't know it exactly, but he said something like, the target or the goal is to get people needs and people greed, so what they want to have, together with a positive outcome. And in that case, a positive outcome regarding the economy and regarding the world. And I think this is what really like comes together in the ReFi space, because you have like people who want to earn money, which is totally normal, totally fine, and everybody has to earn money. But they also care about the environment.
Yeah.
And I think I really like that. And so this is, from my point of view, something super positive. So yes, I think this is something super important, that people really take care about the environment. And Nadine, you just said like you have already like around 500 projects. So what are they? I mean, this, at the beginning you said like the space is still super small, but now you said like you have around 500 projects, and I think even growing, so the number is growing.
Yeah.
So who's working in that space, and why already 500? And how do you know if which project you kind of want to choose? How you can you kind of navigate through that space?
Yeah.
I mean, nobody has time to go through 500 projects and then decide which one is the best.
Yeah. Well, that's why we had the idea to particular, because we figured that the space is like super dynamic, and there's coming more and more ideas and also different approaches. Even in CO2, they are not doing the same thing. They're all like having their own methodologies and adding more methods to the methodology. So it's really hard for somebody who's not in the space to understand what it is about, and especially where's quality and where maybe not. And we were like, okay, we have to focus at first on the CO2 startups, because that's already hard enough to figure out about them and classify them. There are like around 250 of those carbon-related projects. And then, of course, after we figured everything out about the carbon, and we already have it in our database, but also like filling out the gap and create in the end like a rating, it will take a little bit. And then, of course, we have like other, I would say, asset classes. And I already mentioned it, we are talking about supply chain traceability. There's, for instance, they are called Fishcoin. So they figured out that fish are got throwing away a lot, and they like incentivize the fishermen to collect data, and they calculated them, and then they're kind of like paying so the fishermen are not like fishing more than they need because it's just thrown away. Then we have, what do we also have? Circular economy, also biodiversity token. There is also one really, really great project in Asia. They're incentivizing people who are living with forest elephants because those forest elephants have a positive footprint, I will say.
Okay, and nice.
And that's how they collect data and use, and there's also so much data.
I can imagine.
And we're like, okay, this is more data doesn't mean always it's more transparent, and the space aims to be more transparent, and but they're like kind of like redo the problems from the classical market, and that's why we are like, okay, we don't have time, climate change is not waiting, and we have to figure it out now and not waiting like for a normal market mechanism to solve the, you know, the problem with the bad and the good project.
It takes too long.
Yes.
So what you said, and I think it's super interesting, the CO2 topic about the carbon credits, I've heard it, I personally have heard it already several times, and I was already reading some things about that. Mm-hmm. But about the other topics, like you said, the fish token and things like that, I haven't heard anything about it.
Yeah.
So I think the topic is still small. And another thing I've read is like in 2030, I guess the carbon market should be big, like 50 billion.
Yeah.
Because around 2000 companies made like a net zero pledge. And so it's still small at the point of time, but there will be many things ongoing in the space.
Definitely.
And so what are your thoughts on the conference and ReFi? Is it already like a huge topic here, or is it like not so many people are involved in that space?
I'm surprised. It's a little bit, you can see a little bit here. There's like one panel discussion with Ross kind of like about sustainability in Web3, which was really great, but it's not a lot compared to, of course, there's this whole DeFi area and, identity, security and all those stuff. So ReFi is a little bit underrepresented yet. But I think it will grow because last night I was also invited in the city. There was like a ReFi meetup. Some people organized it, nice. And they already met a lot of people. And I was like, oh, crazy. It's like it's growing and it's great to talk to them. And yeah, when I talk to people here from the conference and I told them, yeah, I'm working in the ReFi space, they didn't know about that. And I said, oh, I thought at least the people in Web3 know about us.
But they sometimes don't.
They don't, and I'm like, okay, that's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I was working in the VC space and now startup acceleration, and sometimes people expect me to know everything in every area more or less. But there are like so many areas, and like we are at the moment super agnostic, so we don't have like that focus area. And so of course there are so many things I don't know because there are like so many different areas, and I'm always trying to understand at least the basics.
Yeah.
But it's super hard to keep up on everything. It's like nearly impossible.
It is. I'm honestly, I also don't know anything. Like everything. I was wanted to say anything. Everything.
We are trying to improve.
Yeah.
And like trying to get better every day.
Yeah.
So there's like, because we are kind of getting thrown out of that place here, so they already ask us whether we can leave. So it's getting like the conference is now getting really more crowded. So normally we start with one question, but we didn't start with it, so maybe we can kind of finish it.
Yeah.
We always ask our guests whether they can explain or how they would explain their job and their everyday life to their grandmother.
Oh yeah, that's a really hard question because my parents, they don't, or my family in general, they don't get what I'm doing, and they didn't even get it when I was in the classical work, like like when I said I'm working in product management, they're already, so they don't even get that. But usually what we are trying to do also in ReFi, we trying to change the language because we don't want to put the technology in front. It should be just in the back, like cloud, you know, like cloud software. Nobody knows also how it works, like when you're not a IT person, but it is working and you know the advantages, and that's how it should be also in blockchain. So we are always explaining it with projects. So I'm like, yeah, so there are different projects and there are good projects and bad projects. And we're trying to figure out who are the good ones and who are the bad ones and analyzing it and helping them also to get better. And then they usually, okay. I mean, I still don't get it, but it sounds interesting. And I'm like, okay, great. Yeah, so
it's tough. But yeah, it's a totally new space, and especially if you're not into tech, it's even more difficult.
It is. Yeah.
I understand. Yeah, so thank you so much. It was a pleasure having you here today.
Yeah, thank you.
And yeah, let's enjoy the conference. Let's enjoy the rest of the day. Let's make some more connections.
Yes.
And yeah, let's meet with some nice people.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Love.